thanks so much for speaking to Katie and Kay.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure, Gavin.
And tell us about monastic life. Where do you live and what's life like?
Well, it's quite an extraordinary life. If you're a Buddhist, particularly in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, but in all the Buddhist traditions, you have an opportunity to voluntarily choose to step away from the milieu of life and put yourself in an environment where you can really focus your entire life on cultivating your compassion, your love, your kindness, your wisdom. And so monastic life in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, for me, gave me that opportunity to cultivate those really good qualities and sort of figure out which ones were no longer helpful, get rid of them, let go, you know, do something different. And so the abbey is a beautiful environmentally. It's in a beautiful, beautiful place. The community is 16 people right now. And so we pretty much live, breathe, sleep, walk, talk the Buddhist teachings 24/7.
Well, you have quite a few opportunities for folks in the valley to meet you and learn more about some of these practices. Talk about what's happening tonight, Friday, September 28th, at the Dharma Center inside the Third Street Center in Carbondale at 7 o'clock. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, in Tibetan Buddhism, there's quite an extraordinary different types of tools the Tibetan Buddhists in the world have come up with through the realizations of the great masters. And one of them is they're called sadhana practices, where you take one of the Buddhas, and there are limitless numbers of Buddhas. There's not just one. And on Friday, tonight, we're going to be looking at Vajrasattva, who is a Buddha that we really look for guidance when we're really trying to straighten up and clean up our act. That there is a process of visualization in Tibetan Buddhism that's really good for the mind, to focus the mind on qualities of an awakened being that are so perfected, so beautifully displayed and manifested, and that we can sort of aspire to be like that. And one of the things we have to do is to purify and let go of all the misdeeds, all the crazy thinking, all the misguided thoughts. And so this particular practice really sort of zooms in our minds to think about what have we done in our life that really was unskillful, unkind, harmful to ourselves and others. We go to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha as our guides. And then there's a beautiful practice where you think about this particular Buddha as really supporting this kind of starting over, clearing the slate. And then you really rejoice in these efforts that you really are taking to transform your mind into a mind of love and compassion. So it's really a very, and you use a visualization of this Buddha of light to help the mind kind of brighten and be more receptive to that purification practice.
Talking to Venerable Thubten Semkhe, visiting the valley from the Srivasti Abbey in eastern Washington. And you can see a link to all the information about her events this weekend at wocompassion.org. That's the Way of Compassion's website, the Dharma Center at 3rd Street. This weekend, you're leading a retreat on concentration. So it looks like this is Saturday and Sunday, all day, 9 a.m. to 5. Talk about why concentration is important and how has developing your own concentration affected you?
Well, in the Buddhist worldview, the mind is the most powerful tool as far as being able to transform the way in which we see the world and how we engage the world. And for the most part, I think due to our culture and our conditioning, our mind spend most of its time multitasking, a lot of discursiveness, mm-hmm. whether it's mm-hmm. on objects of the senses or anger or attachment. So if we really want to understand how things really exist and cultivate this kind of wisdom that understands reality correctly, you need a mind that's stable, clear, flexible, pliant. And you can't do that when it's ruminating around the past or ruminating about the future. So concentration is one of what we call the six paramitas, which really gets the mind through a lot of hard work to start focusing on just one object for longer and longer periods of time, learning antidotes to counteract the anger, the attachment, the doubt, the sleepiness, the restless mind. The Buddha set up antidotes for all those obstacles to concentration. So eventually, and we concentrate all the time, whether we're focusing on a computer or working in the garden or cooking. I mean, we have concentration as one of our mental factors anyway. But the Buddha wants to really say that concentration can go to extremely deep, profound, clear places. And with that concentration, then you take the Buddha's teachings and you probe them. You probe the mind and you probe the Buddha's teachings very clearly with this very flexible, clear, subtle mind.
You also are leading morning meditation practices on Monday and Tuesday while you're still in town. And I want to ask you kind of what's, for people out there that are sort of interested and want to learn more, why is a daily practice helpful? What does meditation mean to you on a one-off basis, someone who's experimenting versus getting into a practice? What's that transition like?
Well, I can say that I can speak for myself personally that before I became ordained, I was a Buddhist practitioner, and I had a very beautiful life in Seattle. But if I didn't show up and practice in the morning or in the night, I saw that a lot of my mental habits and a lot of my unsettled states of mind were continually coming in and waving over me like a tsunami. So having a consistent meditation practice gives us an opportunity to get to know our own minds and hearts very intimately, to become friends with ourselves, and to know where are our strengths, where are our weaknesses. And even though the meditation practices someday look like you're sitting there going, there's nothing happening here, that all of those dry meditations eventually will bring some sort of fertile ripening of something. So consistency on anything that you want to excel in requires you to show up. Whether you're going to want to be the greatest marathon runner or the best cook in the world or the best swimmer, if you want to be a great meditator, you got to show up for yourself, and no matter what's going on.
So what about someone who tries it and they get bored or they get distracted, right? My problem is never boredom. My problem is I say I have attention surplus, right? I have too much to do and too many ideas and so many things I'm interested in. So what do you say to the person who is struggling to find that inner peace or that calm that would allow meditation to succeed?
Well, one of the biggest misconceptions that I'm still figuring out is that if I sit on that cushion and all I do is think about what I'm going to do today or what happened yesterday, it does not increase the possibility of the day going any better. You know, we think that if we're problem solving and figuring out how the day is going to land, when we get off that cushion, we're going to be good to go. We're not. If we can put down that whole thinking aside and simply concentrate on either the Buddha or our breath or some sort of qualities we want to aspire to develop, when we get off the cushion, our percentages of actually having a more clear mind to be able to address the day increases a lot. So there's this misconception that the more you think about something, the better prepared you are. It's baloney. You got to take it and put it off on the breakfast table and say, for the next half an hour, I'm just going to just take care of my own mind, make friends, figure out what's going on in there and why. And then when I go to breakfast, I'll go on the computer, I'll check my text messages, I'll deal with life. But if we don't somehow believe that giving our mind an actual rest from our life in this particular way to focus, we lose the possibility of our minds really being able to serve us in the best way possible.
It sounds like maybe there's a distinction between planning and being mentally prepared.
And mentally prepared requires a type of clarity and an ability to focus undistracted. And because our minds, by their just habituated patterns, we tend to be automatically distracted. So to be able to just think of one thing, like the breath or the image of the Buddha, or think about of compassion for 15 minutes is an advanced practice, but it will serve the day beyond anything that you could possibly do planning your day on that cushion for that half an hour.
Venerable Tumtum Tsenkhe is visiting us from Eastern Washington, Servasti Abbey, and we'll be doing a series of events. That's tonight at the Dharma Center with the sadhana practice, and then Saturday and Sunday with the weekend concentration retreat, 9 a.m. to 5 Saturday and Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday mornings with some meditation practices. All the information about these events is at the Way of Compassion's website, wocompassion.org, or you can check them out at the Third Street Center. Thanks for speaking to Katie and Kay.
You're most welcome, Gavin. My pleasure.